Solitaire Rose Radio, Episode 42, My Best Day Ever. I have to apologize because I did not make it through the summer of podcasting. I had a number of things come up, including extra time at work, which if you listen to Crazy Comics and Stories, you know that it's been a little nuts at my jobs. I had a friend move here from Houston, someone who I've known for a very long time, and I was very excited about her moving here, but I also get very nervous about such things. I don't want to mess things up. And because anything I consider to be a big deal, I tend to overthink. Look at how long it took to start the solo podcast. Look at how long it took Joe and I to start a podcast, because I overthink things before I do them. And that's certainly the case in a number of things. I announced last episode that a new podcast of mine is starting on October, and I have been furiously editing and trying to decide on format and working on a lot of that. I have the next Kirby episode, which will be up in 2 weeks. I apologize again for that delay. The EC podcast. The other things. I may have an interview coming soon. So there's a lot. It's a lot. And you get really sort of spinning. And I wanted to do kind of a personal episode because I was asked on Facebook, one of those silly things where they tag you, tell me about 10 novels that have stuck with you forever. Tell me about 10 albums. Tell me about this. And Joe and I have discussed, you know, comic runs and comic stories and things like that. But I was given one that I just was turning over and over and over in my head. And it was, what was your best day ever? Now, I know what you're supposed to say in things like this. What we are supposed to say is, oh, you know, the day my son was born, or, you know, some other monumental event. And yes, the day my son was born was a great day. I have a lot of stories about that. His first birthday, his first steps. When he moved back in with me after a lot of chaos and drama, finally having him graduate high school, which was a big deal. He put in a lot of work, went through a lot of change. Moving out on his own successfully, and then moving back here, and then now moving out on his own again. There are a number of days I had at the group home that I am proud of. A number of times at work that I'm proud of. The first time I did NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, where in the month of November you say you're going to write a novel, I'd kind of stepped away from fiction writing. I hadn't done any for at least 2 or 3 years. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do this. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will kickstart things. And completing that first novel, which will be the basis for the first series in the novel podcast I'm doing, that was a big moment. But the best day ever. The best day ever that I had was July 23rd, 2011. And if you would have told me the beginning of the day or the middle of the day that it would have been my best day ever, I wouldn't have believed you, because it was not a good day. I was not in a good place. I had had a long time relationship end about a month before, and I was still mentally beating myself up that I had screwed up. And I think I know that we all do that, but I tend to really do that. I tend to really conduct that autopsy of, you know, what killed it. And no matter what, I always internally, mentally take all the blame. So I was already not feeling good about that. My health was not at the best. It was still a few months after my hospital stay, and I still, first off, I was really nervous that it would happen again. Second, they were still doing tests. To this day, they do not know why I had an intestinal blockage that was that dangerous. And there were after effects. There were after effects. And my full-time job was not going well. It was a job that had a lot of issues and a lot of problems, and we were having a lot of trouble getting the work done because they had cut budgets and cut people, and new people coming in were still not learning. So I was having to do my job and then help with other people's jobs and then fill in for the people we were missing. And without going into too much detail, it was something where I would wake up, work, get on the bus, work on the bus. I would get to work an hour early, work and deal with that, and then I would stay late, work on the bus on the way home, get home, eat something, and work until I couldn't anymore, go to sleep, lather, rinse, repeat. And no matter how much work I put in, things were still piling up because there just weren't enough bodies. So it was a weekend where I was just very burned out. The house felt stifling, but I had a lot to do, so I decided I would drive to the downtown place where I worked and do my work there, because it would be quiet, it would be air conditioned, there wouldn't be neighbors, there wouldn't be kids, there wouldn't be all these things, there wouldn't be the stuff at home to distract me, and I wouldn't feel horrible that I'm sitting at my kitchen table doing data entry all day on a Saturday. So the problem was I was scheduled at the group home that day. So I called in sick to the group home. Imagine that. I called in sick at my second job to work all day at my first job, and I was salaried, so I wasn't even getting paid for all the extra work I was doing. So I went in, and I had my headphones, and I did data entry while listening to podcasts or music, I don't even know what, and it hit a point where I couldn't do it anymore. And I was feeling about as miserable as I have ever felt. I felt miserable. I felt like I could do nothing correctly, that no matter what I did, no matter how hard I ran, I was getting further back. And when I do that, I very much isolate. Because, well, I've got to get this stuff done before I can talk to people. I got to get this stuff done before I can do anything. And I worked until you hit that wall where you go, I can't do it anymore. And I got in the car, and I was just going to go home and watch Doctor Who and go to bed. But as I'm driving, I just got to unwind a little bit. I cannot take this anymore. I have to do something enjoyable. I have to do something I like. And there is a coffee house in uptown Minneapolis that used to be my favorite place to go. It was in a Victorian house. It was beautiful inside. I had a lot of good memories there. I'd been going there for I don't even want to think about how long. I had a book in the car, and you know what? I'm just going to go, and I'm going to get a drink. I'm going to sit on the deck out there. And I'm just going to read until it's too dark to read, and then I'll go home. So I go to the coffee house, and I park my car, and I grab my book, and I go in, and there's a line. And I'll be honest, I was a little irritated, because normally when I go there, there's not much of a line. And when there's a line, it means that the barista's moving really slow, because they're a fast pace. And there weren't a lot of people there anyway. So I'm waiting in line. And I'm really out of it. I'm really, really out of it. And then one person goes up and they get their drink. The next person goes up and they get their drink. And ahead of me was this beautiful woman. And when she ordered, she had this amazing accent that I couldn't place. One of the things I'm kind of proud of myself is I could pick out accents. Not because I've been there, because I don't go anywhere. Let's be honest. When you're living on your own and you don't have a partner, you don't have somebody to travel with, it's not real fun to get in the car and go somewhere to be a tourist if you don't have anybody with you. Part of the fun of being a tourist is sharing that experience with someone. But I love accents, and I love knowing where an accent is from. I could tell a German accent from a Romanian accent. I could tell, you know, different accents here in the U.S. I could kind of pick out, but I could not pick out what her accent was from. And I just said, excuse me, I don't want to be a pest, but I don't recognize where your accent is from. And she said, well, I'm from South Africa, but I'm Romanian. And I lived part of my life in Australia and part of my life in Germany, and now I'm living in London. And all I could think was, this person is going to have a fascinating story. This person is going to be very, very interesting, and I need to find out why someone would live in so many disparate places. And of course, it didn't help that she had amazing hair and was very pretty. That didn't hurt. But really, it was, I need to know this story. Now, I am not a person who forces myself onto people. I tell my friends, I'm very upfront about it. I don't invite myself to things. I don't. If you invite me, odds are I will come. But if I'm going to the movies, I'm used to going by myself. If I go to a play or a comedy club or something, if I'm not in a relationship, I'm used to going by myself. Most of my friends are married or in relationships. And I don't want to be a pest. And it comes out a lot. My friend Tommy, the first time he invited me to his house, when he sent me the invitation, I emailed him back and said, well, I think you sent this to me by mistake. Because in my head, it's like, we don't know each other that well. You know, we were on a mailing list, and he was a horror host on TV, and we traded email and stuff. And he said, no, I want you to come. And in a lot of ways, that's a template for how I deal with people. I don't know if it's social anxiety or just I'm that introverted. I don't know what it is, but I don't invite myself to things. And it's rare that I will invite you to things because I really perceive other people as having interesting, fun lives that they're heavily involved in. So, she gets her coffee. I get my iced chai. And when she told me about it later, she said that I just invited myself to sit down with her. And in my memory, it was, I asked, is it okay if I sit here? Because I really want to know your story. I want to know why you've lived so many places. And she started talking about her life and where she'd lived and where she'd been and the different languages she knew and a bit of her family history. And I just kept talking to her. I kept asking her about her life. And she said that she was going to a culinary school. And when I asked why, she said the most amazing answer. She said, I want to teach people that they can make good food that's healthy, even if they're busy. And that resonated with me because there are times when I've had time to cook and there were times when I didn't. And it's what can I grab out of a box and put water in and put in the microwave and shove in my face? Or, you know, how can I slam two things together and put it between bread and eat it? And she talked about this with such passion and such love and such amazing fire in her eyes that I just kept asking more questions about where that idea came from and what sort of things she was learning and what she was doing. And then we started talking about the book I had and the sort of stuff that I read and the sort of stuff that she read. And she was on a classical literature kick. And I was on a... I tend to waffle between crime novels and noir novels and that hard-boiled thing, historical stuff, and then more literary stuff, but more modern literary stuff. And we actually had a really good disagreement on whether current writers could write literature. She was of the belief that they didn't. I was of the belief that they did. And I pointed out writers such as David Foster Wallace, or Kurt Vonnegut, or Harlan Ellison, or Andrew Vachasse, who writes in the hard-boiled genre, but his stuff is so brilliantly written, I consider it literature. Or Thomas Wolfe. I think Bonfire of the Vanities is probably the greatest novel in the last 50 years. And we discussed these things. And we discussed our lives, and we discussed what we wanted out of our future, and where we were in our lives, both physically, mentally, and then emotionally. And we started discussing our view on how we see people. And we had some very similar views. I was shedding my cynicism. I still had the cynicism that held me back for so long, but I was shedding it. I was shedding it. And honestly, I believe that when I left that horrible job, that I completely shed all my cynicism outwardly. I still have it inwardly, but I'm smart enough to know that, oh, wait, no, let's hold that back. But we talked, and she wanted to know about comic books, because I'd mentioned comic books. And I was just new into podcasting and hadn't really thought about it more than just a hobby with my friend Joe. And it was a conversation where I didn't once look at a clock or look at a watch or look at my phone, and neither did she. Until finally it was really dark, and she realized that she had told someone that she was going to be ready to be picked up around at 8 or 9 o'clock, and it was closer to 11. And she only had her phone, which was, you know, European, so everything was going to be horribly long distance. So I handed her my phone, and she dialed her friend, and then she put her phone number in the phone. And when I asked how long she was here in the U.S., she said, oh, only a couple of days. That she was going to be going back to London because she had to start getting ready for the culinary school starting up again. So I spoke with someone who I didn't know for over 7 hours. It was one long conversation. And we remained friends after that. We at times we were close, and at times we were both busy. She came to the U.S. every year, and we made plans to see each other, and sometimes they worked out, and sometimes they got a little weird and confusing. There were times we would have conversations via Skype that would last all night. There was one conversation we had where I swear to you, we started at like 2 in the afternoon, and 9 o'clock the next morning, we're both like, we gotta go to bed. But if you want the best day, it was that day. Because it was that day and that conversation that really sort of helped me get through that really horrible time. Now, there are other people that I'm far closer to. There are other people who have meant more in my life. There are other people who I have cared for much more. But that one day was the best day of my life. What was the best day of your life? Do you have a story about it? Do you have a day that you think back that's the best day? Do you have a day that really kind of turned everything around for you, that really sort of changed things? I'd like to hear about it. And even if you don't Tell me about it. Tell someone about it. Tell someone about your best day. And try real hard not to fall into the cliche of, oh, the day I got married. Oh, the day my child was born. Oh, the day I did this. Think about that one day where at the end of the day, you had that indescribable bliss, that unconditional happiness, that things were going to be okay. Because I'd really like to hear it. This is a shorter episode because it's a special episode. I'd like to highlight a couple of things coming up. One, the Daily Rios has returned, which was almost my inspiration for this episode. Peter Rios records a podcast every day. Some days it's planned, some days it's just him talking about things. In it, he mentioned Solitaire Rose Radio, and I really appreciate that. I try to do a fun one-person show, and I've said it repeatedly that really the kind of the kick in the butt I needed to get Solitaire Rose Radio started was the Daily Rios back when he did the previous version. The Novelcast is going to be a separate feed, and trust me, when it starts, you will not miss it because I will be pumping it a lot. I will be reading the novels that I have written. I am editing them. I am going over them, and then I will turn them into a podcast, and as each one concludes, it will then be an electronic book that you can buy off Amazon or any place else that I can figure out where to put it. And I would really appreciate it if, when it comes out, you would listen, you would tell your friends, you would tell me what you like. One of the things about it, though, each novel is different. I've noticed that a lot of writers, all of their novels are kind of similar. You know, Stephen King writes horror. This person writes this. I've looked over my novels. I've written detective novels. I've written horror novels. I've written action adventure stuff. I've even written a humor novel. I've written a hardcore noir, really dark crime novel. I've got a detective series that I'm kind of happy with. So as that starts up, I'd really appreciate some feedback on that. Solitaire Rose Radio is where I get to play. Crazy Comics and Stories is a more structured one. I really appreciate you listening to this episode. And I want to thank you for letting me tell you about the best day of my life.